and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's still Congress after Christmas. So if the Republicans think that, because they can stall and stall and stall, that we take a break, we're through. We're not through. Congress ends on January 4th.
Ha ha! Christmas is canceled this year, Republicans. Get to work. I don't care if you want to be a dentist. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
I'd like to be a dentist.
No, John Kyle, get to work. Do what I do, everybody. Back up your important files with Carbonite Online Backups. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. That means this happy clappiness brought to you by Carbonite, because it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Good morning, Hal.
Hi.
Sometimes, you know, it's hard to fight the naysayers by myself. Sometimes I do, Chris, say, how much longer till Wednesday?
You do. You said that yesterday.
I need my backup.
After your discussion with Charlie Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, relentlessly Obama bashing yesterday.
Oh, I get it.
As much as I love Charlie Pierce.
He wasn't Obama bashing.
Oh,
he just shared an opinion with you.
See, and that's okay. That's the other thing I hate when people go, you won't let anyone that disagrees with you. We're having Representative Jim McDermott on today, who is one of the most vocal people against the tax cut. I get it, Hal.
Yep.
I get arguments on both sides. I've said many times, I can love Randy Rhodes and Keith Olbermann and Hal Sparks and Ed Schultz. It's okay.
Well, it's the politics of getting things done, let's be honest. And if you look at Al Franken wrote a great piece that's actually on HuffPo and a couple other places, basically an op-ed about how hard this vote was for him to take, but he gets it and he has to take it.
Yeah.
And I think the compromise that Obama came up with was exactly that, ultimately walking away with what is stimulus part two. And this extension of unemployment benefits is a single largest stimulative effect. Plus, there are all sorts of other elements in there.
Look, if Charles Krauthammer and Joe Scarborough hates it, you know there must be something good in
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
They're saying it's a stimulus package. We're like, yes.
Yeah, it
yes.
is. And
yes.
without extending the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, the Senate Republicans would effectively filibustered. I hate using that term because it's not a real filibuster. Sanders was kind of the closest thing we've had to one.
It was a filibuster-like substance.
Exactly.
Much like what you get on your popcorn is a butter-like situation that is not actually butter.
Yeah.
Well, I said yay for Bernie Sanders, and you're like, what? He disagrees with you. I'm like, yes,
but
I can still say yay for Bernie Sanders, because as you were saying, he wanted to, you know,
strengthen it and educate the populace.
You know, really give the populace an education before this vote. And like I said yesterday, I share his fears about Social Security.
And that, believe me, you know, anybody who thinks that, you know, you can use his ammo against the Republicans, you call yourselves fiscal conservatives and you drive up the budget every time. Well, you have to understand, their end game is to eliminate all social programs by bankrupting the government, essentially.
Right.
So they don't really have a problem with deficits and spending the way we think they ought to based on what they say.
Right.
Ultimately, what they're trying to do is choke off government. They go, well, sorry, it's too bloated. You got to shut it down. Well, thanks to you. So,
well, I mean, that's, I suppose, the other good thing about this vote. It took this to make a lie out of the fact that they care anything about deficits.
Oh, totally.
They only care about the rich, and this vote couldn't make it any clearer.
P.S., if you think people are upset with Obama, wait, do you read some of the stuff the Tea Party is saying about the GOP leadership now in this particular vote? You know, they're calling this, you know, complete, like they're compromising with the president too much, and like too much. It's like the end of the barrel of a shotgun. They're literally holding the unemployed hostage and Medicaid recipients hostage and research and development on new energy technologies, which, by the way, is the single most important shift in the American economy over the next 5 years.
Yeah. Our nuclear security they're holding it hostage. Our military security, which, you know,
votes
when,
on don't
when
ask
Robert
tell.
Gates right. is telling you this is a matter of national security, you have to do this now because the courts are going to do it, and that's going to disrupt military readiness when we we have to do it tomorrow rather than how we want to do it.
Senator John Kyle said yesterday he was going to do everything in his power to keep START from coming to a vote on the floor of the Senate. So John Kyle wants you and your family to die in a horrible mushroom cloud.
Right.
Yes.
John Kyle wants the brand new nuclear facilities, the shiny, gleamy North Korean nuclear facilities, which shocked inspectors because they thought that's the kind of system they thought Iran was hiding, which they're not. We've been putting all this effort on Iran. Everybody is worried about Iran's getting a nuclear weapon. Guess what? They may. But if they do get it, they're going to get it from North Korea, which during the Bush administration went from zero nukes to seven.
Right.
So these folks don't care. Yeah.
By the way, we put that article up on my. You mentioned an article, a HuffPost article from yesterday, Obama and the Age of Unreason, up at my Facebook page.
Yep.
I love this. Let's see. See, this is the thing I don't get, Hal, is what... Mm-hmm. Why can't we have differing opinions? Chris, how many do we get those letters, I'm not listening to you anymore? What, because you disagree with me on this issue?
Right.
I mean, I got letters yesterday. I love Charlie Pierce. I'm going to listen when he's on because they agree with him. And then letters, I hate Charlie Pierce. I'm not going to listen when he's on anymore. Same I get about Hal.
Yeah.
I won't listen when Hal's on. He's too blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, thank God when Hal's on. Guess what? We have every point of view here. Right. We're having Jim McDermott on later. We have Hal here today. We had Charlie Pierce yesterday.
We have Marlo Thomas tomorrow.
Yeah, what?
Huh?
Huh?
That totally makes sense. I'm not listening when Marlo Thomas is on.
That was a little bit of a whiplash there. What does that girl think? Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all I know is she's going to toss her hat in the air again. Yes. I know it's going to happen.
No, but I just, you know, how you and I both get disappointed when you've got fellow liberals that we've all been fighting the same fights for how many years? Like, calling us names. Like, I love this one. Here's a hate letter. Well, it's not really a hate letter. He doesn't think so. Steve in Bellingham, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Subject line, a liberal, non-hateful argument against Obama, in which he calls him a fascist and me a hack.
Oh.
Where's the non-hateful
your
part?
Your sidekicks?
Yeah.
They're awesome. Those guys probably could have careers in voiceovers in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. However, are a hack.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Actually, he called Lawrence O'Donnell a hack, so I'm just a corporate hack lover.
Okay.
Stephen Bellingham, this is a liberal, non-hateful argument against Obama. Steph, I must disagree with you about Obama. Progressives are leaving him in droves. Okay, obviously, you've seen the poll, 60-70%, according to the poll.
Are for the tax cut deal.
Of Democrats.
Yeah.
Yes, and Nate Silver's saying literally the president's lost 1% of liberals, self-identified liberals. Mm-hmm. So somebody made the point yesterday, they're like, it's some liberals with a microphone. Which is true, and they're entitled to their opinion. I applaud Ed Schultz. I never miss him. I wish there could be some sort of miracle and we could get rid of the tax cuts for the rich in this thing, you know?
Right.
But anyway, you and Randy Rhodes are the last of the holdouts. Lawrence O'Donnell is a center-left TV corporate hack. Why must we name call and dismiss anyone we disagree with on an issue?
Isn't he more socialist than anything?
He totally is.
Yeah,
he's not centrist at all. He's the first of the anchor people, like modern anchor people, who've actually self-applied the label of socialist.
Right.
Yeah.
Willingly.
And by the way, sometimes I obviously agree with Keith Olbermann and disagree with Lawrence O'Donnell. Isn't that something?
Right.
Okay, either Obama was lying to us when he campaigned, or else he's become co-opted since then, but either way, Obama is not America's friend. Oh, you could hear that on Fox News any day.
Right, he's not America's
friend. He's so far to the right that he's causing far more harm to America than good. Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, Steph, here's some tough love. I believe you were exposed to the excitement of campaigning when you were young. I was three! I don't remember anything about it!
And it's not exciting
to lose in a landslide!
And they kept you away from the campaign because you were ugly!
I was too ugly! Anyway, this is his...
Ugly. Ugly.
Woo, boy howdy, is it true. Check it out. Google it.
Oof.
That's the spirit.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I've not seen the picture.
I love this. This is his little pop psychology of me.
Yeah.
You enjoy party unity too much. Yeah. You should be for party disunity.
Yeah.
Screw you, Steph, and your unity. You enjoy going to party cocktail parties. Chris, have I ever been to a Democratic cocktail party? No.
You've been to a cocktail party at Arianna Huffington's house.
She's one of the biggest Obama bashers out there.
Exactly.
But it's not a Democratic Party cocktail party. If you listen to the show, you know I don't go anywhere. I go
You've
to
been
bed.
To the Reiners.
Most days.
That's not a Democratic Party cocktail party.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You could just as easily discuss dead men don't wear plaid as
okay.
education policy there.
All right. Yes.
Which I think is exactly. the sign of a great party.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. And by the way, as you know, I'm asleep most nights by, 6:37, hate to
yeah,
tell
exactly.
you, but
yeah.
just saying.
Celebrate good times.
Party at Steph's.
Ate dinner at 4:30 yesterday. Yes, I did.
Right.
You know me. I'm just a cocktail partier. That's why I have
you and
no...
your limousine liberal driving have... yourself.
That's why I have no core beliefs, because I'm...
Right.
Okay, you were naive... Oh, also, now he calls me a size queen. You were naively mesmerized by Obama's big inauguration. Okay. You're overly impressed by his good looks and articulate speaking skills. Oh, now he's just calling me a dumb chick.
He's clean and articulate.
Yeah, right. That's
like
fun
when
word.
They said they picked, you know, he picked Dan Quayle, first Bush, because, you know, he's handsome and chicks will dig him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's just calling me a stupid chick.
Right.
No.
He speaks good. He's pretty.
It's becoming difficult for me to enjoy your show anymore. In order to keep your show on the air, I realize that you cannot be a true revolutionary. Oh, yeah, that's right. The first thing in my contract just says you cannot be a revolutionary of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except a fart joke. Revolutionary, I guess.
Yeah, some of those jokes have been revolutionary.
That's true.
By the way, Chris can confirm no one tells us what to say about anything. No one cares.
Really.
But you could at least quit kissing this fascist president's ass. Steve in Bellingham, Washington, that was a liberal, non-hateful argument
sure.
against our fascist president.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Well, meanwhile, he has a lot in common because the Tea Party are freaking out about this in particular because they think that Obama gave away... got the Republicans to give away too many things.
All right. We have to take a break. But, Steve, thank you for that non-hateful, non-name-calling letter about our fascist
hate
president.
Hate spray. That's the least hateful hate spray I think I've ever heard.
Yikes. I think I will. You know what? I'm going to save that letter forever. I'm going to freeze it in carbonite. That's right. Along with all the pictures of my dog, Madge and Brad.
Oh, would you,
and
would you.
New ones up in my Facebook page.
Oh, would you.
And a baby.
Oh, God.
Fred wore the antlers the other day. I put the Christmas antlers on them. And you only got a second to take that picture with the Great Pyrenees before they claw you to shreds.
And eat the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't wear them. You put them on him. That's an important distinction.
Carbonite. I know all of my photos in the irreplaceable files are protected. Don't risk losing all of your holiday photos. Start backing them up today with Carbonite. Easy, affordable. It automatically backs up your files whenever you're connected to the interwebs on your Mac or your PC. And $55.
Oh,
for God's sakes, for the entire year.
For the year.
And you know what's
That's
cool about it?
Less than $5 a month.
And you know what's cool about it? Is that there's an iPhone app you can get for Carbonite, and it puts all of the files that it backs up on that app. So you can download really anything that's on your computer to your iPhone.
Oh, wow. So it works like a cloud server.
It kind of does,
on top of being a backup service.
Exactly.
Go figure.
Here's a special deal. Only if you use my offer code Stephanie. 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com right now. Do it. Offer code Stephanie for a free trial and 2 months free when you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the hump days with Hal, Representative Jim McDermott joins us in about a half an hour to talk about the tax bill and more. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Sue writes, a theory about those complaining most about Obama. Steph, the Dems complaining loudest about Obama are mostly the people who voted for someone else in the 2008 primary. Pretty sure I'm right there, here. I partially, you know. I think, Hal, you and I don't know whether we're more realists or... we're certainly liberal, but it's like, well, the point is pragmatism. I think it's like, exactly, what's the point of that? Here's, going back and going, oh, what if we'd done this? And, you know, you think, oh, yes, the right wing would have been very kind to the Clintons, as totally. They always were.
Yeah, they would have. Yeah. If Hillary had been in there, they would have treated her different somehow because she was a woman. They would have, all the
oh, they would have been gentlemanly.
Racism,
I'm sure there wouldn't have been one threat of a filibuster.
No. Here's what you have as a comparison point. Look at Obama's court appointments, and act as for a moment. This is what happens when there's sort of zero compromise, because you can't really compromise on court appointments. You're making a point, and it's a long term decision.
Yeah.
And he's appointed some of the most progressive people to the Ninth Circuit and above, but they are being held. And not allowed through on an unprecedented level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is the email war I got in with my Republican brother. It's like, oh, he's had total control of all the branches. And that's
right.
You know, you cannot just, it's not just a word saying, oh, it's unprecedented obstructionism. Yeah. Check it out.
I mean,
people like Rachel Maddow have been trying to educate you about it. Look at the graphs. Look at the, what is it, 83 times Harry Reid has had to cut off a filibuster. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Yeah.
They have blocked everything.
Republicans blocked a 3-month extension of unemployment benefits just 2 weeks ago, and they were not going to let 3 months of it through. Now, to have a stimulative effect, you need at least 6 months. Obama managed to get 13 months into this. The House Democrats are actually trying right now to tie unemployment benefits to the tax breaks for the rich, meaning that the longer you extend the tax breaks for the rich, it also extends unemployment benefits. People can continue that, which would be a great addition, but it still only adds an extra 4 months on top of what Obama was able to get.
Yeah. I was looking up the, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know about Republicans. They voted down health care for 9/11 workers when they've been campaigning on 9/11. I was trying to find the great, I didn't see it. Did you see the Jon Stewart thing? I'm looking for the, whatchamacallit.
Look, nothing will ever overtake their cull the herd mentality. There's a section and a feeling about the GOP where they just think that there's too many people and you need to get rid of some of the dirtier ones. This is a fact.
Jon Stewart lambasted Republicans for failing to pass the bill that would help 9/11 responders pay for health. Orris Stewart puts it, the least we can do, no-brainer act of 2010. He said, of course the Republicans wouldn't be so cowardly as to not vote for the bill and justify their actions, just cowardly enough not to do it on camera. They would, of course they wouldn't go on camera.
Right.
You know. So guess what, Republicans? Here's the deal. We're the only party who understands 9/11 monopoly ends now. So no more co-opting 9/11 imagery to get yourselves elected. No more using 9/11 as the date when magically all your policies became right. You know what, Republicans? You use it so much. If you don't know the 9/11 responders' health care, at least you owe them royalties. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, John. You know, here's the thing, Helen. I don't mean to claim the moral high ground, because there are a lot of Republicans that are good people and give back. But I'm just saying, this is what I hate about the Democratic infighting, the liberal, because let's face it, we all basically, there's a big difference in philosophy, I think.
And huge difference.
I mean, I look at you. You do an amazing amount of charity work, of stuff for different, you know, I try to do that. You know what I mean? We all, it just is... my sisters that are, you know, are progressive now and voted for Obama. I mean, one of them, you know, does Doctors Without Borders. They build houses for Habitat for Humanity. And maybe I'm misjudging my Republican brother, but it's like there seems to be a worship of the almighty dollar, and all you're doing is, you know, trying to find more tax loopholes for the rich. And what are you giving back? You know, and it just, even the tax debate, when I said I'd be happy to pay more for the common good, it's like the common good is not like a concept they understand. Well, I mean, you get the juvenile argument. I'm like, well, fine, then you pay more if you want to pay more. But
the rich use more of the commons than the average person. This is why the tax rate for the rich is higher, because they use more of the country. As a rich person, you do not use the average human being in the United States, the average American, uses the same 3 roads, the same 4 buildings, and the same 9 toilets. The rich do not, they have literally 35 times that amount, and they're not paying a reciprocal amount of tax.
Nope.
They're not paying. If you're charging everybody dollar for dollar, they wouldn't even come close.
Helping each other, the common good.
They don't even do selfish right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't go home.
Stephanie Miller.
This pageant's your chance to spread some Christmas spirit. And that's contagious like VD.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa from the Stephanie Miller Show. Hal Sparks will be filling in for us next week.
Yay!
And then the following week, a delightful year-in-review best-of week.
Aww.
It's like magic. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Listen, there's one thing we can all agree on. Charlie in St. Paul, where's the silent night of farts for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa? Why? Thank you for asking, Charlie. Something to unite us all again before the holidays. All right, that's a little too much. Okay, that's, I didn't realize that was...
I just hate having to do that live. It's just so...
Performing Foley on it?
Yeah.
Just, sorry.
No,
good
no.
Job, Hal.
I just
job.
Don't make me do it again in the hour because I eat too well, Jay. Like, I can't, as my dad would say, I lost my pressure.
You eat twigs and berries. What do you mean?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I don't have that kind of gas. I can't, I don't even have vegan gas, which is really impressive.
Cindy in Buffalo. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, my God. I love you. I love Hale Sparks. I love Jan Fugelstein. I love the Mooks. I'm in a
Fugelstein. You just made him Jewish.
Yeah. Sang.
Fugelsang.
Fugelsang. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
However, I respectfully disagree with you that this was a compromise because this is the only thing that I heard Obama really fight for. My husband, he has passed. When we just... That's when we discovered you from Buffalo. And he... absolutely loved you too. And
thank
also
you.
Though he Obama has never really fought for everything that we have, and I'm not a far left liberal.
Right.
However, I could hear the disappointment in your voice a couple of times too, and that encouraged me. What I would wish for
Of course, you know, Cindy, of course I am disappointed sometimes. I mean, Hal and I aren't fans of tax cuts for the rich either.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's trying to look at the big picture and trying to actually care about other people that will be affected by the unemployment benefits.
My point to this is this. My husband worked at Bethlehem. He gave up a lot of stuff. They said, you're going to keep your jobs. He gave
Bethlehem
up
Steel.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. And
yeah.
Then what happened? They took Bethlehem away. He
yeah.
worked for another company. You got to give this up. He gave it up. What happened? He lost that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going with this. But my wish, seriously, for Congress, for the president, and for anybody in authority, is to have the Christmas Carol story come to them so they are visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
Yeah.
And for you guys, I want you to have the world. I'm telling you.
No,
right,
thank you, Cindy.
Thank
my
you.
Hometown gal. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good luck. Poured a big kiss for me for Christmas. It's
by
my
the
hometown.
Way, one of the reasons why Al Franken voted for this and why and the things that Obama did fight to get into it that by the way, isn't getting zero press. Is that not only their tax cut for working families, middle class tax cuts are will be left in there, but the payroll tax holiday. There's also energy tax credits for alternative research and development, and there's an extension of the Recovery Act initiatives, which is a huge part of stimulating the economy in a positive sense. And in many ways, it maybe go a little bit in the direction of recovering some of the funds given away in the tax break itself if the economy improves. And there's more revenue being brought in.
Right. Well, by the way, I think it was Randy Rhoads yesterday was playing, what was it, Truman Drops. It is part of this larger discussion, Hal, about that you kind of forget the whole, genesis of this. But, I mean, just the two parties and the two different philosophies. And it does make sense. Maybe, it should go without saying. But I think, he phrased it in a way that you think, that it's not just about, we're do-gooders and helping, entitlements and yada, yada. It's that, what he was trying to say even way back then is, look, if you pay people a fair wage, then they have money. People have to be able to afford to buy your products.
Right.
It helps everybody.
Yeah.
It's that whole, a rising tide lifts all ships.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay an honest wage and you're, that's the problem is we have corporations sitting on all this money and not hiring.
Yeah.
And so, if you hire, if you pay a wage, then guess what? The economy gets stimulated. Your business does better because people have money to buy the product you're making. I mean, it's
Well, the other thing, too, is that European markets have grown during that time. And that early philosophy, especially in the industrial age, the beginning of the industrial age, America was really the only consumer society that was growing. You know, Europe was catching up from a lot of war, and that you weren't going to sell goods over there. So they literally got into the business of selling and reselling the same item to the American people again and again and again. So there was an impetus for American companies to build crap that broke all the time, while European companies, because people didn't have the money to buy two washing machines over the course of 10 years, you had to buy, you'd make a better one.
Right.
Well, that caught up with us.
Right. So, Hal, what's going on in the Congress? So, Harry Reid saying members of Congress should hold off on booking December travel, which I think it's because I said it yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hope they stay until, you know what? In fact, he said, he made a point, Chris, of saying, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Congress actually ends January 4th.
Yes.
We'll be back on the air the 3rd. I hope they're still in session.
Yeah.
When we get back.
Oh,
but,
believe
I mean,
me, they'll be voting on stuff that day.
But
yeah.
that's what the Republicans are obviously doing. They're trying to stall. They're trying to make sure that START gets killed, that Don't Ask, Don't Tell gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you think. The naysayers here said, oh, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's not going to happen, and they're going to throw gays under the bus again because blah, blah, blah.
Well, the House is putting forward a singular vote this
hopeful.
Week.
Yeah. The House this week.
Is it today or tomorrow? Well, it's either today or tomorrow that they're actually putting the vote through.
Yeah, the House will take up a bill that would overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Steny Hoyer revealed yesterday the move would put pressure on the Senate to delay its holiday plans and take up the repeal bill sponsored by Lieberman and Collins in the Senate. So it's another standalone, like the one that Lieberman and Collins are doing.
And who's the strongest opposition to it? Who's the main guy fighting to make sure it doesn't go through? John McCain.
Yeah.
And tell me a presidential election doesn't matter and that there is no difference and that that's a fascist argument and Obama's a sellout, blah, blah, blah. Do you think if John McCain was in office, this review would have happened? These laws would have gone through?
Well, exactly.
No. The senators from Arizona really just don't want the best for this country, do they?
No.
No. That's our nuclear security and our national security.
Exactly.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, it's just...
Arizona's holding us up.
Yeah. On a bunch of fronts.
Harry Reid said if Republicans think they can stall and stall and stall, if we take a break, we're through. We're not through. Congress ends on January 4th, and we're going to continue working on this stuff till we get it done. Meanwhile, as Steny Hoyer said, unfinished business may spill into next week, though he's hopeful the House will wrap by the 18th, which is Friday.
Look, according to John McCain, there are only 4,800 Americans, and everybody else works for them. And those are the millionaires and billionaires, you know, that are in the upper 2%. That super elite.
Harry Reid listed START, the DREAM Act, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As he said, my only statement here to my Republican friends, we're going to complete the work that we're going to have them do here. I want to get out of here as soon as we can, but we're not going to walk away from any of the work we have to do. You know, I think Rachel Maddow was saying that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Isn't that hilarious? Like, you can't appeal to any sort of sense of decency or reason or doing the right thing. It's like, you're not going to go home for Christmas.
Yeah, right. That's the only thing that's going to keep them motivated.
That's what might get them to, okay. David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hi, Dave.
Good morning, you guys. Hey, you know, the acronym Grand Old Party should be changed to Greedy Old Party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when you win a lottery, like state lottery, you don't get to keep the whole thing.
Right.
You get 3/4 of it has gone to taxes. It seems like the top 2% don't feel like they need to pay any more taxes. And yet, like you guys said earlier, they use the roads, they use all the services.
Yep.
FEMA, you know, if their house gets blown away by a tornado.
You got multiple houses, talented. Multiple areas, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in Washington State, these teabag Republicans are still pushing for slashing Medicare and targeting.
David, I know a lot of really good-hearted Republicans. I'm obviously related to some of them. My mom has a great heart. I'm not, but you know what I'm saying is that in general, I'm just saying there is a difference in philosophy. And, you know, a lot of us just feel like you want to give back. I mean, look, I like money too, but I feel like I've been very lucky. I want to give something back. You know,
I live with Republicans too, and they just do not. I mean, when they're given the facts in a calm, you know, we were having a discussion about it, they start understanding. But a lot of them are still hoodwinked to this day, even after 2 years of teabaggery that we've been inundated with, and it hasn't stopped.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a philosophy like "screw you, I've got mine." Screw you, you know. Whereas
This concept of bootstrapping like you did it all yourself, as if the structure of America wasn't largely responsible for you getting there, and that the maintenance of that structure requires money. It requires taxes. It requires literally civic activity to keep it afloat.
Right.
You benefit from it whether you're directly aware of it or not. And they just basically go, you know, I got mine because my grandfather raised a bunch of money, and now I get to, I want to keep as much of it, and then I want to offshore it, and the hell with the infrastructure mm-hmm. of the country, the hell with the populace, the hell with everybody else, even though those people, the public education system, helped me to have workers that would keep my businesses yeah. thriving. I want to gut that now because I'm ready to cash out. They are looking at America
yeah,
as a
I
hedge fund.
I love them
fund.
Calling unemployed people lazy that don't deserve benefits, yeah. but trust fund babies should not have to pay a penny
oh,
of tax
God, no.
because,
right.
yeah, they are so,
because they work
know.
So hard at yeah. being... You know how obnoxious it is to be the son of somebody who's yeah. rich and old, like a Skeksis in a bed, and you have to come around every
Mr.
That's
Burns.
The job. Yeah, yeah. you got to go in there every
Again,
day.
I don't mean to paint with a broad brush. I'm just that I won't say, I could think of a couple people I know that just have had money all their lives, and they don't do anything except stuff for themselves. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Really? Who?
Billy in Wimberley, Texas, here on the Stephanie
That's
Miller
not true
show.
About
Welcome.
Billy. He's a good person, I can tell.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Listen, this idea that rich people use more of the commons mm-hmm. than middle class or poor people is so much theoretical crap. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't? Okay, then
one
okay.
individual does not eat anymore, use his car anymore, go to the bathroom anymore than any other one.
Okay, I am, let's say, okay, no, no, I'll give you a breakdown of this. Okay, you have a distribution okay. company, you run a clothing line, for example. Your clothing line is shipped to multiple stores across the country. You use more of the federal highway system for your business that you gain your income from than some guy who drives to and from Starbucks. But on a state level. But the problem is certain states gain more in federal funds than other mm-hmm. states. So if you're shipping stuff into Montana, you're getting more benefit than you're paying for than you do if you ship it into California.
This progressive tax system has been crafted by the politicians and the leftists to pit one side against the other.
You're changing the subject,
yeah,
Tom.
You're
changing the subject because you don't like the subject now.
Exactly.
You're not interested in solving the problem.
No, it doesn't matter. You called.
You paying somewhere in the 30% range is what we're arguing about.
Yeah.
How is that unfair when you look at the historical tax rates in this country?
How about if everybody pays 25% of their income in, whether you're rich, poor, or in the middle?
Well, that would absolutely kill charitable giving and kill the housing
well,
market.
Well, I'll tell you.
No, beyond that,
it's unfair because what you're basing it on. Hold on. Is an ATM fee kind of mentality. Yeah. If somebody can only afford to take $20 out because that's all they have, that $3 difference when they have to pay a $3 fee to get that $20 out is exaggerated in a huge way. But if you have $300 to take out, the $3 is no big deal. If you have a 25% of $10,000 is massive.
Right. We got
25% of a million is nothing.
We got to take a break.
In your
All right,
lifestyle.
Billy, thank you for calling. I'm just saying, if you're making the average income in the United States, which is about $40,000, you think you can afford to pay 25% of that?
Exactly.
Do the math on that.
Yeah, but if you make $1 million, you still have $750,000 a year to sit on, and
All
you
right,
can't. 40, yeah,
46
silly.
Minutes after. Well, do not get Hal Sparks wound up. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Hump Days with Hal.
This is amazing. If you listen to this song, that guitar pick thing, this is before Pro Tools and everything.
Yeah.
He had to do, you know how much cocaine these people had to consume to sit there and go...
the whole song.
It doesn't stop, right? It's like 4.5 minutes long. Like your wrist starts to get hot. You know, like, give him another bump. He's starting to fall over.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Cheryl in Atlanta. Hey, Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out, I don't think that the... a holiday from the payroll tax,
yeah.
is something for us. I think it's something for the Republicans. I think it's part of their plot to get rid of Social Security because it's defunding Social Security.
Could be, but we could stop that, Cheryl, by reelecting President Obama and giving him lots more Democrats.
I hope so, because I myself am on Social Security. I'm disabled. I'm only 54. Mm-hmm. But it's my only income. And if it goes away, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even if they cut it, you know, because, I mean, for 2 years they haven't given us a raise. Anyway, thank you. That's
all right.
What I wanted to
thank,
point
thank
out.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's a valid concern.
Absolutely. And no, long-term, absolutely.
I can't believe some of them are still trying to make the privatized Social Security argument when you go... Have you seen what's happened to the market? Do you know what would have happened if we would have privatized Social Security?
Well, and a Republican president tried to do it with a Republican Congress,
and they wouldn't even
failed.
Right.
So,
Keep in mind, the ones who keep suggesting that, look at it in the positive. It's the same mentality when Dick Cheney heard that if you waterboard someone, they will tell you what you want to hear and not real facts. He went, oh, good.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And when you tell people, if
same
you
same thing he did to the CIA when he wanted the right, not that information. I want this.
Yeah.
Tell me
waterboard
this about
tell,
weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly. And so if you say to them, if you do this, people are going to die. They go, well, yeah, I mean, we can't feed everybody. I mean, they literally, this is a cull-the-herd mentality. Mm. You have to understand that there's a big chunk of the Tea Party and a huge section of the GOP that just thinks there's too many, what Henry Kissinger called the useless eaters. Just people that don't have any meaning. I'm dead serious.
All right.
Drumble.
Senator Kent Conrad on the tax deal.
If they have a better idea,
the House.
They should pass it, send it to us. You know, that's going to take a little more time, but that's okay. I mean, if we can improve this package, that's a good thing.
That makes me nervous, Sal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love this package to be improved, but man, Republicans are looking for any excuse to scuttle this, to make sure START doesn't happen, don't ask, don't tell, that they stall and stall and stall as long as they can. I mean, Steny Hoyer kept the door open for changes to the estate tax provision, which, by the way, I would love it if they could make that change. The Senate bill includes an estate tax of 35% for estates over $5 million. House Democrats approved a bill last year to tax estates worth more than $3.5 million at 45%. A change to the estate tax provision, though, would set up a long battle with the Republican, which is exactly what they want.
Right.
Mitch McLiplis, let's skip to that one.
This agreement is not subject to being reopened.
He sounds more and more like Admiral Akbar every day.
Yeah.
It's a trap! It's a trap! He is a human squid.
Yes.
It's a trap! That's amazing. But again, what they're going to do is they worked on this. They actually sat down. They did compromise. They came up with a bill. 60% of the American public go, okay, I'm holding my nose, but I get it because not everybody gets what they want.
Right.
It's going to go through, and what they're going to do is, you know, they're going to piss and moan afterwards and pretend.
I understand. I'm a fan of all of the stuff the House has passed, but the reality, Hal, if you're being realist like you and I are, 400 and something of those bills are sitting there dead
because
they didn't go through the Senate.
Exactly.
So the president tried a different way this time. He went to the Senate first, and you know, because the time is short now.
Totally.
And you know, you can blame the president. I said maybe he should have forced Democrats to do this vote earlier. But, you know, they didn't. He urged them to do this vote before
last
the election.
Summer.
Because people are like, oh, why are we in this position now? It's like, well, there's blame to go around.
Because he has no control over that part of it. And he can urge them and he can be the, you know, he can try to drive the party. But quite frankly, the blue dogs have had more of an influence, just like the hardliners and the Republican have had more of an influence, because there's just this mentality now that you can stop anything with a blind hold in the Senate. You don't even have to tell people you don't want something going forward. You can pretend it's just stopped on its own. It's maddening. And so when you're up against that as a president, how would you go about getting unemployment extension or the Recovery Act funds to keep being released?
Yeah. Which, by the way, particularly when they're not playing chicken, they've already let them run out.
Right, right.
It's not like they're, you know, Dennis and Spartanburg.
At Christmas.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, guys. I'm just going to say, this class warfare coming from the left, I think, is absolutely disgusting. And
right.
So much you
that's
guys,
what
it's only
about.
It's only coming from the left.
Yeah, right. That's where the class warfare is, right.
Yeah, like Ed Schultz and the people. But what it's going to do, it's going to end up killing somebody. This gentleman down here, well, I wouldn't call him a gentleman, but in Florida, that just walked into the school board office yesterday and started shooting people, was angry at the rich, blamed the rich. And can you just stop and imagine just for one
second? Well, there's been a lot of, obviously, violence from right-wingers recently as well, just for the opposite reasons.
That's my point. Can you imagine 1 second if that was a Tea Partier that walked into a government office and started shooting people? Everyone on the
we've had a string of that happen. We've had a string of right wingers.
One of Glenn Beck's listeners was driving to the Tides Foundation with a trunk full of guns, gotten involved with a shootout and shot at 2 police officers. In Philadelphia, a man barricaded himself inside of his house, called the cops, and when the cops showed up, not knowing that there was a man barricaded in there with guns, opened fire on them.
Yep.
He was a Tea Partier.
Well, I mean, basically, you guys
shot police officers.
There's a string of these incidents.
Ambushed. Police officers, the guy, wait a minute, hold on a second. The guy in the school board shooting fired wildly into the air and ended up only killing himself.
Right.
The Tea Partier.
Oh, boy. Okay. I don't. Wow. I see. And it's Ed Schultz's fault.
Right. So Ed Schultz is driving this guy to kill himself in front of, basically commit suicide by cop, was what he was attempting to do. Meanwhile, this other guy literally calls the cops and when they knock on his door, shoots them.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Representative Jim McDermott on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, welcome to it. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. And HalSparks.com. We are video streaming there as well.
Yes.
It is Hump Days with Hal. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Someone very anxious to talk to, Congressman Jim McDermott joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Now, listen, there's a lot of dissension in the ranks on this tax deal.
What was your first clue?
And we, you know what? I'm a big fan of yours, and, you know, you and I think, disagree on this, but I totally get your points. I understand that people in the House being very upset by this deal. But you've gone on record as saying this is going to be the president's Gettysburg. Tell us, you know, your whole take on where we are now with this.
Well, it's evolved since I made that comment, but my view is that this is really a turning point for the president in terms of whether or not we redirect the way this country's going economically. Now, if you look at our situation, we've got all kinds of problems, and in the midst of that, we're extending tax breaks for people above $250,000.
Yeah.
I personally think that money should be brought into the Treasury, whether you want to do it for deficit reduction, or you want to do it for education, or whether you want to do it for some other purpose. There are a lot of ways it could be spent, but once it's given to people at the top, it goes into a bank account somewhere, and that's the last it we'll see of it. And I personally think that there should be an understanding that we are in a serious problem in this country, and the president should draw the line and say, we're not going to give any more money away that doesn't have a real economic positive effect.
Well, Congressman, you've obviously heard the arguments on both sides of this, and it seems to me like there's probably blame to go around everywhere for the situation we're in. But I guess the point is, what do we do now? Because there's a lot of people that need those unemployment benefits. I think the middle class probably could definitely use the tax cut. So we're in this position, and again, some people have said, the president told Democrats to do this vote earlier, and they didn't want to. And how do we get in this hostage situation? What's your take on all that?
Well, first of all, the House of Representatives has voted, the Democratic caucus has voted for extending the tax benefits for people in the middle class.
Right.
We've also voted for extending the unemployment benefits. So we've already done that. The Senate, on the other hand, has said, we will not take this up unless you allow us to give a tax break to the rich people.
Yep.
So this is really about rich people we're arguing about here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I believe that if we did not do it on the 5th of January, when the Republicans are back in, they would pass the same bill they passed in 2001, and they'd put in the same policy. We've had that for 10 years. We've got 15 million unemployed, 6 million foreclosures. it doesn't work.
Right.
But they want to do it again.
Congressman, I totally agree with you on that. But what? But is, doesn't that prove the president's point that if, you know, we play this game of chicken, if we, I mean, look, the part of me that loves West Wing and loves the American President as a movie would love to have him say, you know, we're letting all these expire, and that, you know, if I, we cannot afford this on the deficit, and I am standing against this. But the problem is, you're counting on Republicans to have some sense of decency. These are people that voted against health care for 9/11 responders. There's people that have already let unemployment benefits run out. I mean, it just, the president truly is in a, between a rock and a hard place, isn't he?
Well, if you believe that, then why did the president settle for 13-month extension of unemployment benefits? Why didn't he demand that it be 2 years until he's gone or till his term is over? Instead, he has set it up so we're going to have this very same battle for the unemployed next Christmas. You just take mm-hmm. my speech, put it in the can, and we'll pull it out, and you can play it again next December, and I'll be saying the same thing then that I'm saying now, except I'll say, and I told you so, Stephanie.
Oh. Listen, I hear that a lot.
well,
Congressman, what, but I mean, I think the point being, what do you do now, though? You know, the problem is, like, you know, because we can all go back and go, why didn't he do this or why didn't this happen? I mean, to me, once Chuck Schumer's compromise failed, I mean, the problem is I'm a fan of all of the bills you've passed in the House. The problem is they all died, 400 and something of them at the Senate, right? I mean, so obviously the president was trying to, with short time here, he was trying to do, try something different and get something done. I agree with you that I hate the estate tax provision. I hate the tax cuts for the top 2%. But, you know, what would happen in January, do you think?
What he's doing is he's making the Democrats ratify what the Republicans did, and it didn't work, and he's making us vote for it. Wait 2 weeks. The new session comes in. Mm-hmm. The Republicans will be in charge. John Boehner can bring that bill out as the first bill, as H.R. 1.
Right.
And he can extend the tax benefits and give unemployment benefits or whatever he wants. And it'll be on the president's desk because the Senate's already passed it, so it'll be on the president's desk in 2 days.
Right.
If
they don't remove the unemployment benefits entirely, because they have no particular impetus towards doing that. I mean, they're actually fundamentally opposed to it.
If you think that about the Republicans, I think in the end they used the unemployed as a lever to get these tax breaks for the rich. That's why they dragged. They don't really care about the unemployed.
That's what I mean. They can lose it if they
clear.
Think. Yeah, they and
well, that's what I'm saying is I think the president was saying he doesn't want to gamble with people. And I got to tell you, Congressman, I got a lot of letters from people that said, "Thank you, Mr. President. I can't afford to have you gamble with my unemployment.
Right.
But I am out of money."
At what point do we actually have to deal with the fact that Republicans ultimately have an unlimited number of hostages that we can say go ahead shoot the hostage, and they can just shoot that one and produce another one, and still nothing has gotten done. And ultimately, all they're going to ever fight for is a tax break for the upper 2%. They're never going to institute their own bill that helps middle class families. They're not going to put through their own bill that extends unemployment.
Well, that's
benefits.
What I guess we're asking, Congressman, is how is the outcome different in January, except perhaps worse, as the president has said?
Well, let's look at it this way. You had the crash occur in 1929. And for 3 years, the Congress and the President of the United States refused to deal with it. And in 1932, you had the biggest change in political history in this country with the election of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Democrats. And that's when you got these problems solved. Now, if they want to sit here for 2 years and punish the unemployed, and we will have the biggest Democratic victory in 2012 that you ever saw.
Yeah, but that's the problem is we don't
send those unemployment benefits immediately.
That's the problem is we don't. You and I, Congressman, we don't believe in playing politics with people's lives. The Republicans do. That's the thing. It's like we could say, yes, this is politically will help us in 2 years, but it's just,
I couldn't. I don't think a lot of progressives even could stand by and let the poor suffer for 2 years for that victory.
But here's the issue. If that were true, If you're worried about the poor, of the unemployed, then you would extend it for 2 years now.
If I could get it, I certainly wouldn't let it die at three, though. I mean, literally, the last one, didn't the last bill die at 3 months?
Yeah, of course.
They wouldn't even allow 3 months through. He managed to get 13, and that was perhaps in the negotiation to extend Recovery Act elements, to extend energy, you know, energy funds. It's there seems to be an actual deal-making going on.
Right, we did get a backdoor stimulus, didn't we, Congressman? And we could not have gotten that by itself, correct?
And certainly not in January.
I'm not sure what we could have gotten if the president had talked to us as he started those negotiations. He went over there by himself and made a deal.
I think it's fairly obvious. There's 484 examples of what you would have gotten.
I'm sorry?
I think he was aware that there are 480-some-odd examples of what he would have gotten, which would have been a nice bill that dies in the House.
Well, you know, if you think that the Republicans are that reckless with the economy, you have a much worse opinion of them than I do.
I do.
I guess we do.
I think they're good negotiators, and they figured out that they could make him look bad, and he was weak, having just been clobbered in the election. And they said, "Now we got him. We'll offer him a deal, and he'll have some good things in it, and then he'll have to take some awful things." And
you know, I got to say, Congressman, in terms of the election, I'm sure you've probably seen this. You know, the one thing I actually loved was the new Washington Post ABC poll. Though Republicans made gains in the elections, they have yet to win the hearts and minds of the American people, according to the poll. The midterms, of course, widely, you know, seen as a rebuke to President Obama. Still, the public trusts Obama more marginally more than they do Republicans. Mm-hmm. At 43% to 38%, the poll suggests the election, while perhaps a vote against the status quo, was not a broad mandate for Republicans and their plans.
I think that's true. See, what I think this election was about, it wasn't a rejection of Obama. It was a manifestation of real widespread chronic anxiety in this country about jobs and health care and home foreclosures. We in this last 2 years, we have never solved the problem, and we're having more foreclosures, and we're going to have more. In the height of the housing market was 2007. People took a loan with a three-year ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage.
Right.
So in 2010, the roof fell in. A lot of people took a five-year ARM. So those are all going to come due right in the middle of the 2012 election. We're going to have the roof fall in again, just like the Metro Dome in Minneapolis. And people, if you look out, you can see what's happening. That's why Bernanke says we're going to have unemployment, high unemployment for the next 5 years. But we extend the unemployment benefit only for 13 months. Mm-hmm. Why do you want this fight next December? I mean, if I was the president, I'd say, look, you guys want something for the rich. I want something for the workers. And we're going to go till February of 2013.
Yep.
We're going to go.
If you think you could have gotten that with these folks, then you have a much higher opinion of them than I do. And I actually think they don't care. They have actually zero stake in the poor. And I honestly believe that. This is not hyperbole. I honestly believe they don't care about the damage they do in that regard to that particular group of people.
It's hard to find people happy clappier than you and I, Hal, but apparently Congressman McDermott is about the Republicans. Congressman, before you go, let me, because the other thing is, you know, many of us feel like there are other really important things we need to get to before the end of this lame duck, I think, as does the president, want to get the tax deal done. How are you feeling on start and don't ask, don't tell? Because they're trying to stall and kill anything.
This has all been, for 2 years, in my view, about ousting President Obama.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That has been the only thing the Republicans have cared about. Just as they felt the same way about Clinton for 8 years, they did everything under the sun from the first day to the last day to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. They're doing the same thing with him. The START treaty is in the face of every Republican foreign policy person saying we got to have this to get a handle on what's going on with Russia. And yet they'll play games with this kind of stuff just to make the president look impotent.
Please, don't tell me the Republican Party has not gone so far to the right when you have a treaty that would be too conservative for Ronald Reagan that is being traded as some liberal, wish list thing.
I think they're caving now, and they've scheduled it for a debate. And I think the Republicans, besides John Kyle, is kind of the point man. He's got the flamethrower. But I think there are people behind him who are saying, John, you are putting us in a bad position. And yeah. They're ultimately going to come up with the 67 votes and pass that thing.
You know, I think people that would vote against health care for 9/11 workers really don't care anymore if they look bad, I guess.
Well, that may be true, but this is a national security issue, which is what the Republicans say is their strong point.
Well, thank you. Which, by the way, because I'm sorry, got to let you go. We're running. I could keep you all morning. I'm enjoying talking to you. But before you go, don't ask, don't tell. I agree with Secretary Gates. This is a national security issue. The courts are going to overturn this. It is unconstitutional. And then the military is going to be forced to do this in a day. I think it's a critical issue. Are we going to get this done, do you think?
It's on the floor, I think, today, and I expect it'll pass out of the House on a suspension vote. And I think the Senate will just have to look at it and decide if they're going to be responsible or if the Republicans consider their irresponsibility is the only way to go to get rid of Obama. I think it's going to pass, frankly.
Oh, thank God. All right. We end on a happy, clappy note. Congressman,
right.
I think so. Congressman Jim McDermott really enjoyed it. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
All right, there we go. See, we proved the president's point. You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Exactly.
No, you can't. Shut up.
Jim's here. Screw you, Jim. Yeah. 21 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
From a distance, I just cannot comprehend.
You hit the sappy sound bank by accident.
Sorry.
I love this song. I don't care what you say. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toe free from anywhere. Why? My goodness, Hal Sparks. Digging through this Washington Post ABC News poll. Why isn't this interesting? The public trust Obama marginally more than they do congressional Republicans, according to a new poll, 43% to 38%. Conversely, after the GOP's 94 landslide, people express far more confidence in congressional Republicans than they did in Bill Clinton.
They learned their lesson, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but it is interesting. And I guess the point, and I guess we've made this point over and over again, it was worse then. Clinton lost the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
It's just there's so much whining and naysaying, for God's
sake. Right.
Most continue to say that Republicans in Congress are not doing enough to compromise with Obama on important issues.
Mm-hmm.
Obama maintains double-digit leads over Republicans in two big areas, helping the middle class and health care reform. Check this out. The GOP has an edge only on one issue tested when it comes to dealing with the federal budget deficit. Republicans in Congress up 8 points.
Huh?
Well, wait till they pass the bill.
Yeah.
They just voted to add trillions to the deficit for tax cuts for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people will be like, wait a minute, I thought.
But they'll somehow contrive to blame Obama for that.
Right, and people are already confused. While Republicans are more trusted on the issue, Americans believe the president is more genuine in wanting to reduce the deficit. So
mm-hmm.
they are paying attention.
Right.
I mean,
they're just not offered, and this is part of it. The genuine articles that would come up, the bills that could change things for the positive, which I think the public responds favorably to,
right.
get stopped by single holds in the Senate
yeah.
more often than not. And so the Democrats can actually go and have press conferences. This is what we want. This is what we would like to have happen. And then a single senator can dig their heels in and artificially filibuster just by offering endless amendments.
Yep. Ike in Charleston. Welcome. Hi, Ike.
Hey, hopping, smoking mad here.
About 30 seconds. Go
you
ahead.
Know, what is it with these folks that make $250,000 and above that they can't seem to get it through their thick skull? That we're, the rest of us out here that don't make anywhere near that are not stupid. We know you've got tax loopholes. We know you've got financial planners. We know you know how to hide money. We
yeah.
know what you're doing. And by the way, for the fact of the matter, just remember something. For all you folks out there that have all that wealth, just remember something. If it wasn't for the people that worked up underneath you to get you that money,
that's right.
you'd be as dirt poor as the rest of us. So
that's...
quit your whining and chip in and pay for the work
Thank you.
That you didn't pay for. Pay for the tax cuts that have done 10 years worth of damage.
Rock on, right. Ike. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring.
What? Merry Christmas!
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, not you!
We're here to smother you with Christmas love!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a terrible Scots accent. It's really bad.
It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, earlier we
you
read a...
subtitles.
We read a, what was, subject line was non-hateful, a letter about President Obama from a liberal that called him a fascist and me a corporate hack lover.
Mm-hmm.
Mike in Chicago says, do you think I'm judging Obama because of tax cuts for the rich at this point? At this point, I wouldn't in Obama's mouth if his teeth were on fire.
Ooh,
and that's one of the president's liberal allies there.
Yeah. That's because you're not paying any attention to what he has accomplished since he's been in office, which dwarfs anything on a positive sense that Bush did in 8 years.
Yeah. By the way, hang on, I'm digging through here. Somebody's making T-shirts. Uh-huh. I'm just saying there are some people
Scorecard.
Yes. Yeah. The Obama scorecard. Can I have my fun facts, please? This is hard to fit all this on a T-shirt. The Obama scorecard.
That's why it's a giant T-shirt.
Middle class tax cut immediate. Chrysler saved. GM saved. Government loans repaid. 800,000 monthly job losses. Now monthly gains. Education spending increased. Student loan cost decreased. Hate crime laws strengthened. Health insurance reform. CHIPS expanded. Enforcement of child labor laws. Wall Street reform. Credit card reform. Predatory lending to soldiers. Restricted. Troops paid for. Stop loss. Torture stopped. To the VA spending. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway. Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
what
it's a
put?
T-shirt.
Here, let me show it. I'll show it on screen.
All right,
you
show that on the HalSparks.com Ustream. The new, we were discussing the new Washington Post ABC News poll, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, and this is what I've been saying, Obama's tax compromise with Republicans on Capitol Hill sparked vocal protests from liberal elected officials and leaders of some progressive groups, but the poll shows no notable erosion in his support among liberal Democrats in the population at large. His approval rating among liberal Democrats stands at a lofty 87%, almost identical to where it was in an early October poll.
Mm-hmm.
As someone said yesterday, some liberals with microphones disagree, and that's fine, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean they represent everybody.
Right.
All right.
Meanwhile, a Tea Party congressman, who's a newly elected Tea Party congressman, Alan West, over WikiLeaks, suggests that we mass censorship the American media and shut down any source that recognizes the WikiLeaks dump at all. Like, they're literally... He wants to shut down the New York Times and other websites. This is your constitutional scholars coming into office.
I've been emailing with Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame, and I said I was saying, isn't it interesting that the right wing wants to execute the WikiLeaks guy because now leaking classified stuff is really bad, and we must maybe even bomb a country if he's in it.
Brad Bogg has a very good story on that. What President Kennedy thought of secrecy. Yeah, Brad Friedman, BradBlog.
BradBlog.com. Charles in L.A. Hi, Charles.
Hi. You know, I'm really upset about this deficit thing, $900 billion. It even has Moody's upset. They're threatening to downgrade the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, you know, we're going to all face a huge inflation tax.
Don't you wish the president would just once use a signing statement like the hundreds that George Bush used? This bill, thank you for this fabulous compromise, and now I'm putting a signing statement that I take out the tax cuts for the rich. Whee!
Yeah, why not?
Psych!
Yeah, that one doesn't... You kind of can't use a signing statement for that.
All right. It's a little fantasy.
I know. But it doesn't work that way. Not on those kind of things. Not in budgetary elements.
Bill in Ohio.
Strictly
hi, Bill.
Congress.
Hi, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm just listening to all these people that are calling in, complaining about Obama and about the things that they think that he hasn't done. They need to quit listening to Fox and start listening to C-SPAN and listening to y'all. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you, honey.
But, you know, instead of being mad at Obama, because I'm not upset at Obama, I'm upset at us, and at Democrats. And those independents who voted for Obama, because in November you're hearing all these Republicans talking about, oh, well, that vote in November sent a message. No, only message it sent was that we didn't show up to keep them out of office.
Well,
that
was
it.
Yeah,
and
the independents
didn't
show up.
Right. We didn't show up. So it ain't Obama's fault. It's our fault for letting them in office from the beginning.
Yep.
Obama's smart. See, yep. Obama knows exactly what he's doing. Don't yep. think that man let that. Don't think that man is okaying this bill, and mm-hmm. don't think he doesn't have some type of leverage.
That's right. That's right,
why,
Bill.
That's why that's why the party.
I'm with you. I agree with the.
Slowly coming aboard
yep.
because they're yeah. realizing now that Obama's up to something. That he's a smart man.
Yep, yeah. I agree with Randy Rhodes. We didn't protect our quarterback. 39 after.
Yeah, right.
I was saying it was a great moment. It was a couple of days ago. Somebody was a liberal. Bitching about stuff I hadn't even heard of, and I'm in the business.
Right.
I'm also mad at Obama because blah, blah, blah. And Randy just hangs up. She just goes, all right, I'm going home. All right.
But you,
58 after.
You do make a fantastic point in that House bill scorecard is very indicative of why Obama would need to make a Senate first outreach to the Republicans to get anything actually signed off on, because you
right.
have to get Senate Republicans to sign off on it before it gets to that point. Otherwise, it'll just die on the vine. 480 some odd bills.
Yep.
Dead. Great work. Gone
yep.
nowhere.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I was saying. I'm a big fan of all the bills. You
yeah.
know, there they are, sitting there, 400 and something of them dead.
The House and Senate couldn't get a 3-month extension of unemployment benefits through Christmas get passed.
The one good news we did get from Representative McDermott is he thinks Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to pass
yeah.
Robert Gibbs yesterday.
His strong belief is that the policy will change one of two ways, either through the court system or
right.
through Congress. His preferred and our preferred method is to do this legislatively through Congress.
Right. Because it has a more lasting effect and nobody can challenge it secondarily.
Yeah, but
saying,
he makes
activist judges.
That, to me, that is a threat to the military, to unit cohesion.
Right.
If they let it, because the courts are going to do it.
Right.
And then you've got to enact something the next day. That's how it works. Steny Hoyer and Representative Patrick Murphy, who is an Iraq vet, plan to introduce it's the standalone bill,
mm-hmm.
the version in the House, just so we can, these are the congressional fun facts. Many of us have a hard time with the ins and outs and the whatever. See, I just blurted that he should do a signing statement, but see, a lot of people, we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Right.
Why doesn't the president use an executive order? Why doesn't he get, why?
Oh, so it is today, by the way.
Yes.
They're going to vote today on the...
Yes, that's what the congressman told us. Right. The procedure would be used to expedite floor consideration in the Senate, where time has become the most precious commodity, obviously, in the waning days of the... lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to bringing this bill to the House floor soon. I hope the Senate will swiftly take action as well so the bill can be signed into law as soon as possible. This discriminatory and harmful policy has weakened America's security by depriving us of the work of tens of thousands of gay and lesbian troops who had served their country honorably, and has severely compromised our armed forces' core value integrity. Already 24 other nations, including Israel and Great Britain, allow their troops to serve openly with no detriment to unit cohesion. Yeah, you can do the arguments forever. It's just, let's do it already. Under the
Do
procedure...
It now. Stab it! Get back to the chopper! Things of this nature.
Under the procedure envisioned by Hoyer, Harry Reid can then bring the measure to the Senate floor with fewer procedural hurdles. A legal expert said it's like a roller coaster in the Congress to get repealed to the White House. I think it's a positive development. It's an opportunity to expedite consideration in the Senate and provide a new vehicle that will allow us to get this done this week
mm-hmm.
and on the president's desk.
Yes, how many times do the House Dems and the Senate Dems and Obama have to try to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell voted on and through the Congress
yep.
Before they get credit for attempt?
Yep, Joe Lieberman said the already large and growing number of my colleagues who are quickly signing on to this bill shows the high level of continuing commitment to repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell before Congress goes home this year. Jack Reed said Joe thinks he's got 60 votes for closure. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. By the way, this guy...
You're fired.
The Marine Commandant. What?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you hear this guy? General right. James Amos? Is that how you say his name?
I don't want to lose any Marines through this fraction. I don't want to have any Marines, and I'm visiting at Bethesda with no legs, the result of any type of distraction.
By the way, if you're distracted by a gay guy, doesn't that mean you might be, a gay guy?
Right.
Why would a straight guy be distracted by a gay guy in the middle of a battle?
All
these gay guys around here are making me so nervous.
This is okay. ridiculous. He suggested if Congress lifts the ban, Marines could be so distracted they would die in the line of duty. He said, when your life hangs on the line, the intuitive behavior of the young man who sits to your right and left, you don't want anything distracting you.
Oh, come on.
You've
got other things on your mind.
Yeah, Marines are going to pick right in the middle of a, like a... you know, a firefight to act really gay.
Dude, your leg's brushing up against mine. Don't get any ideas. Like, this is all right, yeah. This is how badly this guy
like
trains Marines.
You're there with your machine gun, and suddenly he's there with his Lady Gaga on his iPod with glow sticks. I think he's going to have a gun, too. And he's probably going to be shooting.
Right. Marine Commandant General James Amos clearly has very little faith in his ability to train Marines to focus in the field of battle.
Exactly. Because, oh, my God. He's so, what's his name, George Jessup, General George Jessup in A Few Good Men. He said, I don't want to lose any Marines to distraction. Mistakes and inattention or distractions cost Marines lives.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall with no gay guys on either side of me.
I don't want to cross that wall and find a rave going on.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I think what he just did, saying. You know what he did? He just ordered the code red. I think that's what he did.
I ordered the code red.
I did the job. Did you order the code red?
Damn right I did!
What is a code red?
Gay guys cost Marines lives!
Actually, it involves some body oil and a loofah.
And aloof.
You just weakened a nation today. That's what you did.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Wow. And then he went on to say...
You're right. I need you on that wall. I just need you.
With no glow sticks.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've heard gay people...
poppers. Don't ask me how I know.
I've heard gay people blamed for a lot of ridiculous things, but he went on to say, I don't want to have any Marines that I'm visiting in Bethesda with no legs. So now gay people are responsible for legless Marines? What?
Here's a good idea. Maybe you're not distracted by the suspense and paranoia that you might have as a homophobe. If you know openly who's gay and who's not in the unit, you can actually physically avoid them if that's your problem until you leave the service because you don't believe in freedom for everyone. You just believe in, you know, whatever white supremacy or whatever you got your training for. But that's just nuts. That's like, you know what? Our Marines can face any kind of enemy.
Except gays.
Yeah, right.
All right, 46
They're too
minutes.
Distracting. Look at him.
With their rippling muscles and their
yummy
hot little asses. What? 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, check out Hal Sparks' basket. He's dancing on standing up. Woo! HalSparks.com. Check it out. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, someone was also perusing the John Fugelsang gallery on StephanieMiller.com and said that he is prettier than 87% of all the women she knows as well. We like our liberal men. Pretty, pretty, pretty. Who's the pretty boy in the window there? You.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell John the next time I see him that he is the Sarah Palin of the left. Skating on his looks.
Bonnie in Middletown, New Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bonnie.
Good morning, defenders of truth, justice, comedy, and the American way. Oh, to our friend Ike, my accountant must be an idiot.
Yeah.
35%, not one write-off.
But, yeah. You're like, damn, what's get cracking on those loopholes.
Mm, but that caller who said that, you know, us liberals with the redistribution of wealth and it being a whole lot of BS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our friend, 58 minutes after yesterday, was playing, oh, Steph, it wasn't Truman. It was FDR, and it was his State of the Union after his...
Yes, I'm sorry. You know what? I realized later I said that. I said Truman. I meant FDR. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Truman was a good man, too.
Yep. Absolutely.
But Randy made a salient point, and words do matter. You know, when they refer to it as a redistribution of wealth,
right,
it implies that there was an original distribution of wealth, and that is the fact.
Yep.
And it was distributed a little bit with not much equity.
Yep.
But
listen, you tell that Hoa, she's been on fire this week.
Hasn't she, though?
Yeah, she's doing great. No, I mean, it really, but I was saying that earlier, it just, the big picture point she was making, I think, was brilliant, is just, you know, and the point that FDR was making about, you know, essentially a rising tide lifts all boats, as Bill Clinton used to say, too. Just the whole, right, but my point is saying there is a reason that's not just altruistic and paying people a fair wage. It's that then they have money to buy your friggin' product, and we all win.
Well,
you know, it doesn't help any of us to hoard, you know?
Yes, absolutely. But what I find so mind-boggling is that everything old is apparently new again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Randy made great points on this, too. It's exactly the same situation that got us into this mess, you know, the economy crashed because of speculation, no regulation, the wealthy hoarding their money, and amazing amounts being given to business like land and property rights and all kinds of, you know, business.
That's right.
And the working class got pretty much, and, you know, they had slave labor too. But the working class got, well, you know,
the shaft.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yes, that would be the best for business, is to bring slavery back. That's
well,
yeah, so, you know, here comes Greenspan and Reagan with his book under his arm and walking the Rose Garden, and we're back to square one. We're right back where we started from. This whole, you know, he referred to as trickle-down whatever, which made every working person a peon, but it's the same exact situation. But, you know, with an economy, a consumer-based economy,
right,
if the consumers have their wages frozen and, you know, then this economic disaster, if the consumer has no money in their pocket, they're not consuming.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Appreciate the call.
Also, read Griftopia by Matt Taibbi. He really tears Greenspan a new one and talks in great detail about the entire.
Well, Greenspan's Fraud is a great book that, you know, people can pick up, too, and just kind of look at the manufactured bubbles that Greenspan was actually helping his buddies earn money off of. But the interesting point that the congressman made earlier when we were speaking to him about
Jim McDermott.
Jim was saying that he was saying that, you know, in the 20s we just let him hang, and 3 years later he had the big liberal voted in and all those kind of things. But at that point we still had an industrial base. As a matter of fact, we were at the cutting edge of the new period of American industrialism. We had factories being built all over the place. We're in the exact opposite situation now.
Yep.
And so
I got the most from the FDR clips, Jim, is I wish presidents still talked like that and it sounded all crackly.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. My birthday and no one remembers. No, that's not what he said.
I don't like the improvements in audio because I felt it more comforting when you could actually hear this.
Ladies and gentlemen, as your president today, I state unequivocally that it is very important that you and I and every American fight very harshly against the onslaught of communist aggression and the military-industrial complex.
It's like they had a dental sucky machine.
Well, it's almost like you had the crackling fire, the fireside chats. You know,
I found it comforting.
Yeah. If you ever want to know where Ross Perot got his voice from, listen to a recording of Napoleon Hill, the guy who wrote Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
He sounds exactly like that man, and this is the kind of thing that you're going to learn under my system.
Before radio, I'm sure presidents all had high, whiny voices. Because
so they can reach the back of the room.
So that nobody can hear. But now that people can hear their presidents, they have to sound authoritative.
Totally.
It's like actors that always speak in that stage voice so they can hit the back of the room.
Exactly. That's why traditional instruments are always like thin and twangy, because they didn't have amplification at the time. So everything, bing, 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 because the only thing you could hear. Yeah, right.
Jimmy in Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. Hi, Jim.
Jeff?
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, I remember when, Britney Spears, she always just do whatever the president says.
We trust you with everything.
Who sounds just like Britney Spears?
Are you saying me? Is that what you're saying?
You
bastard person.
Honestly, I think we should just trust our president in every decision that he makes, and we should just support that, you know?
Because that's exactly what we say all the time here.
Yes, because I don't back that up with any actual facts or figures or thoughts that are any deeper than Britney Spears. Oh, I hate you and your ass face, Mr. Providence, Rhode Island.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Okay, let's...
Now, one of the earliest recordings of a president was Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded quite a bit like his cousin, but considerably higher. Could be because of the recording equipment, but also, perhaps, he had a higher voice, being rather a short, stout gentleman.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
That is The Stephanie Miller Show, Hump Days with Hal. Thank you for all the Christmas cards. Somebody sent me a card that just simply says, I'm sorry, my dog, your baby Jesus lawn ornament. Thank you very much. Looks like a picture of a Great Pyrenees there. Thank you. Appreciate the apology. StephanieMiller.com.
Is that a frequent problem? I wasn't aware that...
There was an outbreak of that. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice D&E Jim Ward. Or me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks here, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hump Days with Hal. We are video streaming on HalSparks.com. Oh, by the way, speaking of websites, Jennifer of the Smitten Kitten Gym, who we had
Smitten
on yesterday...
Kitten? Yes.
It's a progressive sex toy store.
Mm-hmm.
She said to our Steph, we got so much traffic yesterday from our interview that our site crashed.
Wow.
I don't want people to think we're not legitimate, and I really need all that business. SmittenKittenOnline.com. Check it out.
Look at that.
It's a progressive sex toys store.
You don't want any of those conservative sex toys. They're,
no.
They're boring.
No.
You can buy one of your Smitten Kitten sex toys and walk proudly out of the store as a progressive and not have to hide it in a brown paper sack and wrap it in your long coat.
They have a curator
there. Hide it somewhere else.
Yes.
Has it more likely.
Whenever a Republican buys a sex toy, you should see them walk out of the store. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. The limping.
An angel gets its wings.
Right.
All right. I think the important thing is that we can all rest easy. The Swedish foreskin bandit has been caught.
I beg your pardon? What?
The what?
Hmm? The what?
All,
sorry,
all
what now?
All sex is what? A Swedish court has sentenced a man to prison for performing illegal circumcisions.
Is this a hobby? Or
yeah.
What?
He circumcised 9 boys without a license.
Oh.
But he's been nabbed, the Swedish foreskin bandit, so you can...
Was he keeping them? Like calamari or something?
No!
Like, was he...
Oh, Hal Sparks.
Well, I mean, like, is that what... I mean, you, to be a bandit, you have to run off with something.
Is he just an amateur moil? I mean, what? How do you...
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Really?
Did he have his license revoked because he was sloppy? Whatever.
Even with a license, it doesn't pay a lot, but you can keep the tips.
Oh, babadidabadoscrumpidoo. Really?
So can you get a kosher on SAS?
Really?
Once again, the story proves true. It's a time-honored saying, Hal, and that is it's only funny till someone loses a hair extension. Wendy's clerk arrested in drive-thru attack that left patron with hair extensions ripped out. That's never good.
Sorry.
A Florida Wendy's employee was arrested after deputies say she attacked a customer in the drive-thru. She asked the customer to speak up several times when placing their order, which that's of standard.
Oh, yes. Irritating.
They use the same microphones that FDR used, apparently.
I will jerk the weave out of your head.
She said. The customer said, there's no need to disrespect me. I will go in there and kick your ass.
Oh.
Glover drove forward. Apparently, the employee walked out of the restaurant, approached the passenger side, and told her to lower the window. That's never a good idea.
Computer says no.
No, that's always a no to that. I wouldn't have, yes. And so she did. She got whatever she had coming then. Okay, I'll lower the window. So when she did so, she grabbed and pulled Glover's hair, ripping out her extensions. As employees rushed in to separate them, the customer punched the employee in the face. So she got a shot in there.
That's solid. That's some good work being done there.
That's how a good day's work when you go home with a handful of hair extensions.
Totally. Put it on the wall with the others.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Would you like hair extensions with that?
Trophy room. One day I'm going
to
get
that's
a glass.
That's what happened to the last person to ask
me. Totally.
If you get fries with that, free. Huh? Okay. Jesse in Dubuque, Iowa, sends us another future husband stack from you. A Wisconsin postal carrier says he simply wanted to cheer up a woman on his mail rounds who seemed stressed out. But upon further review, he says delivering the mail in the nude probably was not such a good idea. A police report says the man said the woman, he told the woman he'd deliver the mail to her at her office completely naked to make her laugh. He says the woman dared him to. So, you know what? I think nothing you do on a dare is ever a good idea. I don't think anything good has ever come.
I disagree.
But getting nude on someone's porch when you don't know them. Yeah.
Hello. Special delivery.
Special delivery.
Yeah, right.
I've got a package for you.
Sorry. Return to sender. Address unknown.
Jim, I have a guest quote for you about John Boner. Who said, this guy has an emotional problem. Every time he talks about anything that's not raised taxes, he cries. If you'd seen Nancy Pelosi all these past years crying, what would you say? She's got a problem. Who said that?
Fred Phelps.
No, that's a good guess, though. Barbara Walters said that on The View.
Will we? Mm-hmm. Will we say that?
Will we? She did. Lynette in Minneapolis on the Boner crying. Hello, Lynette.
Hello. Hey, let me take my headset off. There we go.
Please.
If
you don't, I will yank your hair extensions out, Missy.
It sounds like a job John Boehner would have, doesn't it?
Yes.
He could cry about later.
Right.
Now, what was it? Okay, I was just thinking, you know, here he is complaining and crying about, you know, his life. He had to work in a bar. His parents, they had 12 kids in the family, so apparently with that economy that they were living under, obviously they were able to afford to feed him and the love and other kids, and because he said his parents were Kennedy Democrats and the Republicans were getting taxed a lot more, they were able to raise 12 kids, and, you know, so what was he crying about? That economy that he grew up in? Or?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That treated
him very well. Right.
Yeah, he only cries about himself. It's the theme we've been talking about this morning, Hal. Republicans, right. The me party. Just...
I'm just trying to cash out. Look, America is a hedge fund, not a country. I've made a lot of money, and I want to move it all to the Cayman Islands, and you're trying to stop it. You're keeping me here. You're giving me a job. I can't even move to Europe. I just want to set up my private island to cope with money. That's all work.
Don't you just...
How am I going to hire somebody to count my money for me if I have to pay an extra 4% in taxes?
I just pay...
part of my money to the government.
Don't you just picture a weepy teenage John Boner just sadly mopping up Rob Roy's and rusty nails off the tavern floor, cursing his lot in life?
Why do I have to do this for twice the pay you're giving all the other employees? How come other all kids right. don't have to work for their allowance in this neighborhood? Stupid Kennedy Democrats trying to keep their kids... fiscal responsibility. When I grow up, I'm going to be as unlike you as possible.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. Ah!
Get your Republican talking coins. Get your
Okay. Dave Ramsey on the Caduto show.
I'm tired of these thieves in Congress. I think they're stealing, and they're using the government to do it. Money is private property. And when you single out a segment of the culture, rich, poor, by race, by any other demographic analysis, and decide you're going to target them for destruction, and you're going to use your power in the government to do that, if you want to make an absurd statement like he's going to make, I guess I'm going to join him in the absurd statement club and say, that senator is a thief.
Yeah. So making rich people pay their taxes is a crime against nature.
Yeah, stealing.
If 4% can target you for destruction, you're on shaky ground, dude. That's like saying America could only take an attack in 3 cities or we would fold.
Right.
Like, ground troops. I mean, that's funny.
All right. Rush Limbaugh on the healthcare ruling.
What you have to know about the entire Obamacare debate, folks, and even about the ruling of Judge Hudson yesterday, is that this is essentially about liberty. Do politicians in Washington get to tell us how to live? Health care here is almost beside the point. Health care is being used as a Trojan horse to take down the nation.
Yes,
right.
Take down the nation with health care.
That's the devious so plot. Insidious. What is that music that he was playing at the beginning, and why the moaning lady sound effects?
He had inadvertently sat on her. No.
That's the wrong noise. If that was the case. No. That was a pleasure noise. That's not the sound that happens when Rush Limbaugh sits on stage. Even when he's, you know,
lost
the weight through a series of prescription meds.
Put your anal cyst. Put the candle back.
Okay, put the candle back.
Listen to me very carefully.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
By the way,
brought me an abnormal brain.
By the way, the Virginia, what you call it, speaking of right-wing whack radio shows, the Virginia Attorney General, Ken, what's his name?
Cuccinelli?
Cuckoo Cachoo, Mrs. Robinson.
Cuckoo Cachoo.
Yeah, the right-wing whack that got the right-wing whack judge to vote his way. Thanks his teammate, radio host Mark Levin, for all his help with the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was on Mark Levin's radio show, and he said, I appreciate the help. I don't know if you've told your listeners, but you've been in on this all the way. Hey, Mark, thanks for your partnership. It's good to have you as a teammate. There you go.
So says Stephanie Miller, who's sarcastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience. She's been up and coming for 20 years. Mm-hmm. She's sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
And if I didn't have my political convictions, I could make my living as a trumpet mute.
All right. I used to be Charlie Brown's teacher.
Right, exactly. And then I took dictation lessons.
But at least she's not sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Glenn Beck on the radio.
Anybody within the sound of my voice that was a special ops person, anyone who has ever done any special ops for the United States military, you must inform your friends of the truth. And if you're in special ops, please, please tell your friends, wake them up. I know you probably have, but it's time for people to come out into the open and be vocal about it and tell people what we're up against.
Why would you?
Because nobody in the media is going to.
Why would you need special ops people unless you were looking at Second Amendment refugees?
Yeah. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe if... I don't know.
The coming revolution. Oh, I don't mean violence, but do you know anyone in special ops?
Yeah. Is he siding with the kind of people who would give information to Julia and Assange? Like, what's the difference between... Isn't that what the WikiLeaks guy did then?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy with a special...
Jim, a teabagger in Reno, Nevada, would like to talk to that mouthy Hal Sparks. Hello, Jim.
Teabagger. Well, that's kind of a...
I didn't say teabagger. I said a tea party member.
That's right.
Oh, you said a teabagger. No. I heard you.
I didn't say teabagger.
I was wondering. You got that little guy there that's kind of a mouthy little guy. And
size is important in validity. Right. Understood.
You're the mouthy little guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You mean because I don't back down when people say stupid things and bully their way into a conversation? That makes me a little guy who's mouthy? That's what it is? When you have a weak soul and an inability to intellectually deal with anybody who can actually put up a fight with you, what you do is you call them a mouthy little guy, and that's how you soundly establish your point. And by the way, you enter the conversation by saying you were derided as being called a tea partier, a teabagger, and then you call me mouthy and little, and that's your idea of a balance somehow, even before we've even spoken, sir?
Okay, just let him talk for a second.
Here's the mouth. Go ahead. Mouth.
I see. All right. Sure. Well, my mouth is attached to a brain, at least. Go ahead.
Jim, let me jump in here, Jim. You started the conversation with a lie. You said that I called you a teabagger, and I didn't. I said Jim is a Tea Party member in Reno.
Any way you want, mouth. There's another mouth. Look,
I do have a mouth as well. Chris, can you play the tape back later?
Well, you do realize this is radio, so that hand puppets really wouldn't be helpful.
That's all you do is flop your lips.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Really?
Well, it is a talk show.
It is a talk show, so, actually.
That was like a Pee Wee Herman conversation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was really...
I'm trying to use the phone! There's another mouthy bun!
Yeah, that's amazing that he comes in and goes, don't call me a teabagger. Meanwhile, the mouthy little guy who's just a mouth, who's a little guy, who's mouthy little guy. At my height, I'll stand against anyone. There you go.
You're not that short.
No, you're not that short.
Plus,
thanks.
Okay. Hal has two black belts. So,
by the way, Jim, I just would like to point out, it does help to have mouths when you have a radio show.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the
hour.
Again,
shadow puppet's not really helpful on the radio, sir.
Okay.
But nice try, goon.
Stop name calling, you little mouthy guy.
Right.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour mark in San Francisco. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to call to say that even though we may have a difference of opinion on this tax bill, we should still, you know, appreciate each other's effort against the Republican Party.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
And I love Hal Sparks. He's tremendous.
Ooh, thanks, brother.
Crew's great. The only thing I want to bring up is my concern is the losing Social Security.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big concern. And I kind of want to take the Republican.
Well, we're not losing it. I mean, even Bernie Sanders is saying the fear is that we are weakening it to the point that we, you know, obviously that would be the Republicans' goal.
Plan,
but we've got to fight against that, obviously. That's the point.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just don't want to put it in jeopardy. It's not worth it.
Yep.
That's my
yep.
concern also that yep. maybe we should fight the Republicans now. I know it's ugly, but, you know, maybe people need a good dose of these people so they don't vote for them no more.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I think too many people are going to pay the price. It's like, yes, let's have 10 years of disastrous Republican rule. That'll show us.
But why is no one talking about lifting the cap on Social Security? You know, it was $106,000, I mean, mm-hmm. a year. Just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Make rich
yeah.
people pay
yeah.
into Social
oh.
Security, even though they say, well, I'm not going to use it. That's not the point.
By the way, an exceptionally rare Stephanie Miller Show apology. Tip Mama was wrong.
Yes.
I apologize to the teabagger that just called in for saying that I didn't call him a teabagger.
Because
apparently
you didn't
I
call
did.
Him a teabagger.
But at
yeah.
least we tell the truth here.
Exactly.
At Progressive Radio. I was thinking in my head, don't call him a teabagger, and I slipped.
Teabagger.
I slipped by accident and did. I said that teabagger in Reno wants to talk to that mouthy Hal Sparks. And
right.
I apologize. I didn't mean to. I meant to say a Tea Party member, and I thought I did.
Yes. And
I apologize. I was wrong.
Yes. And in our side, the name calling should actually serve a purpose as opposed to being kind of accidental.
Well, my point was that I thought that we could have a good conversation, but I was wrong about that, too. So.
Right.
It wasn't going to be a respectful conversation,
well,
no matter what I did.
Since I'm mouthy and little, I have no reason to actually have a conversation with someone like that. So I can just state my piece and
you might be a little oversensitive.
No, I'm being ironic. I actually don't think those things about myself, and that doesn't bother me. Just funny to me that he would call in and go, don't call me names, and then call somebody names.
You mouthy little bastard.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Before I'd ever said word one to him. That was the interesting thing. Like, he and I had never spoken. He may have had issue with what you had called him.
Yes.
But me, I was...
And rightfully so. He should have taken it out on
that's
me.
That's Southern
okay.
hospitality.
Hi, Tucker.
Okay, Hal, I was going to defend you against Jim, but that was pretty mouthy there for...
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, was it?
Hey, Steph, real quick, I wanted to talk to you about this Monday, the 60 Minutes thing with Boehner.
Yeah.
I really had a realization with what's going on there with Boehner, and then you can take it along through Christine O'Donnell, Sarah Palin, and a bunch of these people.
Mm-hmm.
They come from fairly modest backgrounds, lower middle class. They've been on the government dole. They usually come from a fairly liberal or a labor conservative background, and then they achieve success, and they want to keep pulling that ladder back up behind them. But they continually cry when they think about their youth, but they never want to help out those people mm-hmm. that are just like them nowadays. They want
yeah.
to afford everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
But that selfishness does show through eventually. The really sad part is, though, is that Boehner was shown crying about the small people, not shown crying about himself again. But
Well, I mean, we've been making a lot of historical points, but someone was talking about Henry Ford. It was like he paid what in that day was considered an insanely high wage, but he did it not to be altruistic because he went, people need to be able to afford to buy cars, for
right.
instance, and that would help all of us. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tells little kids that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is an alcoholic.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Frank in Chicago is a fellow mouthy person. Hello, Frank.
Hey, guys. Yeah, my name. I'm a fellow mouthy little guy from Chicago.
Yeah.
Right. I need to defend Hal.
Thank you, brother.
And say, you know what, man? Me and my mouthy little friends get more action than my tall friends, so I don't know if that guy was trying to hurt your feelings.
Word.
But I think you know what's up.
Well, listen, yeah. I can attest that no one gets more action than Hal Sparks.
Exactly. He's got no, you know, we have nothing to worry about.
Mm-mm.
That being said, though, when I go to teabagger country, those, I don't know if it's the reptilian brain or what, but they notice every visual flaw on a person. So maybe
it's true.
Know, just able to, you know, compute, you know, visual things. But yeah, they'll notice how many gaps you have in your teeth or how fat or tall you are. It's,
Southern,
I don't know.
Southern parents are notorious for, like, when their kids come in going, are you aging faster than your friends? Because I think you are. We're worried. Like, it's by the way, what keeps you small? It's literally what rich people, no matter how awful their kids look, you know, as inbred as they could possibly be, will go, you are perfect and exceptional and never forget that. Meanwhile, Southern kids, like, you come home and you're like, hey, man, you may be tall and good looking, but that's a damaging thing in another part of the country. Like, oh, they just make you wilt. By the way, good on you for being from Chicago as well.
Yes.
Favorite city in North America, hands
All right.
down.
Oh, hang on. We got some breaking news. Who sent us this, Chris? SheWire.com.
Uh-oh.
I'm up for Gay Woman of the Year, 2010.
Hey.
Why?
What?
I'd be happy to just be named Miss Congeniality.
You are so congenial. I will give you that.
Let's see. Here I am. Let's see. Stephanie Miller, blah, blah, blah. Today's the day I stopped cheering gay rights from the sidelines and step out on the battlefield, Miller told The Advocate. I was inspired by people, certainly my friend Melissa Etheridge a long time ago, and more recently my friend Shelley Wright. She's inspired a lot of people. But that ends today because she's up for it, too.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yo, that's the end of that now, for God's sakes. Bitch.
How did I know that was coming?
Exactly. Go to SheWire.com. Vote for Mama for whatever.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Vote for Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. Let's, O'Reilly, we're finishing up the right-wing world. O'Reilly on the far left.
The signature opposition to the Obama tax compromise comes, of course, in the far left. And with yet another crushing defeat, the question is, can George Soros, Arianna Huffington, The New York Times, and MSNBC even survive much longer as credible enterprises? It's clear the country has turned against the radical left. Even President Obama has figured that out. So guys like Howard Dean are in trouble. And when you're in trouble, you often spin.
Or Howard Dean, the radical left.
Yeah.
What?
And by the way,
yes.
if spinning is your indication of failure, then Bill O'Reilly is nothing but a constant 24-hour failure. Straight from the no-spin zone, it's nothing but spin that he hasn't even read until he goes on the air. This bored reading attitude that he always has.
By the way, this marks,
I'm
the,
reading, yeah.
this marks the 100th time that he's predicted MSNBC's demise.
Yes, right.
All right, Joe Scarborough.
Any president that gave a damn about the deficit would not have added $1 trillion to the national debt. He doesn't give a damn about it. He never has. The Democrats don't care about it. Because if they did, we wouldn't be going from $5 trillion in 2000 in the national debt to $16 trillion over the next couple of years.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
So the debt is Obama's fault.
Right.
Yes.
Not putting our war costs on the books, let's say, on day one instead of hiding them in supplementals.
Yeah, hey, look, the deficit went up.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah. Joe Scarborough wrote, less than a month after Republicans who ran against Obama's fiscal recklessness added another $1 trillion to America's debt, at least he's one conservative telling the truth about that. The GOP has become a co-conspirator in what Charles Krauthammer is calling the swindle of the year, a scheme that will pump $1 trillion borrowed Chinese dollars into the U.S. economy over the next 2 years. Obama is about to pass another reckless stimulus bill, but this time the same GOP leaders who once vilified the president as a socialist will be his closest allies. So Joe Scarborough just hates everybody.
Yes.
He said no one should be surprised by the Republican Party's dementia when dealing with the debt. After all, this is the same party who campaigned forever on fiscal restraint before turning a $155 billion surplus into a $1 trillion deficit. I mean, at least he's one Republican that's telling the truth about, you know, how we got to the current deficit to some degree. All right, Karl Rove on O'Reilly.
Democrat senators are going to have to go home and face the voters
in states that don't like the Barack Obama agenda and soundly rejected what the Democrats did over the last 2 years. So, you know, the conservatives can be on the offense, but we ought to be clear that the Democrats still have the White House and they still have the Senate. And the question is, and this is going to be a battle of will. Can the conservatives keep on the offense and keep pressing, so that they win not complete victories but partial victories and keep winning them consistently?
All right.
Why isn't he in prison? That's all that's all I care to comment about Karl Rove ever.
Yeah, I have a hard time looking at someone in that kind of physical and mental shape and not thinking that to some degree he is.
He's in a prison of fat.
Every morning he wakes
up. A
prison
of fat.
Well, beyond fat. I mean, he's not even that fat a guy, but he's clearly in horrible, horrible, like, mental and physical shape, mm-hmm. just, like, health-wise. And I think it's got to be a ton of self-hate. Like, I don't know how you mm-hmm. wake up every morning being Karl Rove. Now, I don't think that's enough prison for me. I think it would be lovely if he was actually
prison.
Frog-walked. But, it's not this kind. He wishes he was Mitt Romney, and it must dog the hell out of him every morning.
Yeah, and his latest thing that's ticking him off is that even though he formed a shadow RNC, Michael Steele's still running again.
Right now we have a chance to move forward in a very aggressive way to take on the Obama administration and his agenda, and that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Just without me, sort of.
Yeah.
Because they can't wait to replace me. And you know why they haven't replaced him yet? Because they can't find a way to do it without it being really obvious. We're going back to white guy.
Yeah.
This black guy didn't work.
Yeah.
Ruse didn't work.
Right.
Tom in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I wanted to point out that we're at a turning point in the English lexicon,
uh-huh.
and that maybe three or four generations ago, to pull a boner meant a gaffe or a foible.
Right.
And now it just means to just lose it. And
right, that's true.
Yeah. Don't be such a boner.
It could be great fun at Thanksgiving. You know, it's like mom dropped the turkey, now she's going to pull a boner.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Totally.
Yeah.
Come on, put on your big boy pants. Stop pulling a boner. That's just totally. Wait.
All right,
never mind.
Aaron
can't pull a boner. Never mind.
Gives me a whole different image.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron in Berkeley.
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know about this really funny article in Satire Wire. I tweeted you about this yesterday, but it's called WikiLeaks Releases Boner's Netflix Account. It says, just days after his tearful 60 Minutes interview, visibly upset House Minority Leader John Boehner today announced WikiLeaks has published details of his private Netflix account, showing terms of endearment has still not shipped, despite him sending back something about Joey nearly a month ago. It's really hilarious. I found it on America Blog.
All right.
And I also wanted to let you guys know that Rachel Maddow did a great segment about Boehner crying last night. Did you see that?
I think I missed that, but yeah.
It's in my DVR.
It was all about, you know, crying is okay, and it's, you know, fine to cry in public, but he's just disingenuous about it, and she shows all these clips. It's great.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. All right, honey.
I think he's honest when he's crying. I just think he's lying about what he's crying about.
Yeah.
It's like when right. George Bush would get upset about stuff that was happening. I don't think he was crying for, like, honestly, for people who were in harm's way in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think he was crying because everybody's putting pressure on me, and I don't want to have to deal with this stuff. And I was being president was supposed to be this hard. Yeah.
People are looking at me like it's my fault. How'd that happen?
Right.
Well.
All right.
It is.
All right. Senator Mitch McLipless on the omnibus.
Where we are is eerily reminiscent of last year. Many of you were here. We've got another, in this case, almost 2,000-page bill that no one has seen. It's completely and totally inappropriate to wrap all of this up into a 2,000-page bill and try to pass it the week before Christmas.
Once again, we're going too slow.
I don't like
we're
reading.
We're going too fast for Mitch McLipless.
Look, I didn't get into this job to read.
That's what pay staffers for, to read.
That nobody has seen.
Everything except, moves too fast for Yertle. It really does.
Every look, every bill goes through committee. Every time it is hashed up by both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You each get a look at it chunk by chunk.
They're most afraid of pages.
And they have staffs of lackeys to do all the...
Yes. Mitch McLipless once again.
Well, I am actively working to defeat it. I think there are many members of the Senate who have provisions in it for their states who are also actively working to defeat it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Jim DeMint, again, it's the whole Christmas connection that's the problem.
A 2,000-page massive spending bill right before Christmas is more than my stocking is going to hold.
All right. Do you not talk to your committee chair people and your committee representatives about stuff? Do they not give you the breakdown of what works and what doesn't? Do you not trust them? Is that the issue? Do you have Republicans on the committee that when you ask them what's in this bill that I should be concerned about or should I review, they haven't read it?
I have nothing to do with this.
Do you not want your committee position? Is that what it is, too?
Senator Jim DeMint again.
I think people need to know what's in the bill. One of the best ways to do it is just to get the clerk to read it.
Yeah.
That's what your committee people are for.
That's what Harry Reid said yesterday.
I think that the people on the Appropriations Committee work very, very hard. I think they have a very good piece of legislation, and I think we're going to move forward with that, the omnibus.
Yeah, there is nothing that they will not try to stop, just to, as the congressman told us earlier, just to have it be a defeat for the president. Harry Reid plans to bring both the START treaty and the omnibus to the floor. Continued protests from senior Republican leadership that we should wait till the next Congress. Yeah, gee, that's not too transparent when there's a lot more of us.
Yeah.
John Kerry, an administration official, said they have the 67 votes necessary to ratify START. However, Senate Republicans trying to stall the debate. And again, to make the president look bad, to make sure we don't get Don't Ask, Don't Tell done. It's so transparent. John Kyle and Lamar Alexander said they still oppose bringing the treaty to the floor before the end of lame duck. Alexander said there needs to be a full debate over the treaty and its implication for our country's policies in the world. Oh, so it's okay if we get blown up in the meantime because, you know, we need more time for debate on that, on whether that's a good idea.
What do you think we're giving away?
Trust and verify.
You think our 75th redundancy in the nuclear weapons department is something we shouldn't give away? That moving from 2,200 nuclear weapons to 1,500 is too much of a giveaway for you? To secure Russian loose nukes that are a car ride away from Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Caspian Sea?
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments of Hump Days with Hal.
Sorry, I'm so mouthy. And
he's the mouthy little guy.
Stop being so little and mouthy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, a Benatar off. Look out. Like a dance off, holding.
Yeah.
Fiercer. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I forgot. I just got booked on Joy Behar tonight.
Look at that.
On CNN Headline News. Check it out.
Fantastic.
What's the topic?
I don't know. Politics. Harriet in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you, Stephanie. You start my morning every day.
Oh.
You and your small talking friend there.
Yes.
But of course, I know he's divinely handsome from what you've said.
Dear, so is he ever.
Small talk or not, I think it sounds really like an enhancement situation there.
Right, natural male enhancement, I'd like to think.
Pardon, dear?
We'll talk later.
With a name like Harriet, I have no business using such. But you know how my name is pronounced in French. Harriet. So you better be careful.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, the topic here is the fact that, you know, I spent some time down in Cali, Colombia as an apprentice under the Chicago Sun-Times idea of what one can do as a journalist when I was in college at the University of Chicago. And while I was living down there in Cali, we were taught how to use a gun because the only people that had any money were those that had cars and plantations.
Mm-hmm.
So I happened to end up in one of these people's homes for the hiatus there. And you have to be real careful with the people with the situation with the yunta and the people that have no money. So when you create an oligarchy, which we've got down here in what we've got now in the U.S.
Okay,
you know what you're
all right. All right. Thank you, honey. We got to the point. Okay,
that's
I
good.
Was. I think a lot of women just call a flirt with Hal, and there really isn't a point. That's what I think. Whatever. Some story about Cali.
By the way, you know when you're telling these little stories. Here's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Have a point.
All right, she did.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
She got to it. She just wanted to stretch out the time she was talking to Hal. It's like the guys that call every once in a while and go, could you just keep talking for a little while longer?
Yeah. I'm almost done.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think he's trying to stretch out this conversation for some reason.
It's not the only thing we're stretching out.
Can I get a new headshot?
Oh, yes. Or can you send me a new picture? The last one you sent me is dirty.
I don't think I need to spell it out, do I?
It's all fist crinkled.
D-listed reporting. Dina Lohan wants to do Dancing with the Stars. Okay. They write, Crystal Palin was on Dancing with the Stars because her claim to fame is passing a human baby through her vagina. So, White Oprah probably thinks that because she once passed a human baby through her vagina, as far as she knows anyway. The 1980s were a Darva set blur. She has a shot at joining the cast. She said, Lindsay actually told a woman at Dancing with the Stars who made the offer, you need to take my mom. Our family loves the show because I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer, damn it. D-listed saying, shaking your knees for Russian mobsters in the back room of an OTB in the late 70s counts as dance experience.
Is she human or is she dancer?
I don't know. George W. Bush, in a radio interview, said he thinks the tax cuts would have a better chance of getting through Congress if everyone would stop calling him the Bush tax cuts. He went on to say, I happen to believe lower taxes is what stimulates economic growth, and what we need now in our country is economic growth. Yeah, because that's why it worked so well for the last 8 years
and
how we got this economy in the first place.
You do realize what you, George Bush, believe has nothing to do with reality on any level. On foreign policy, on finance, on...
When I was around, we were gaining 700 jobs a month. 700,000.
No.
What?
Losing.
No, losing.
What now?
And we were, yeah, and Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction.
I bombed who now?
Wow. There's less than 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
I was drunk.
Calling out fellow deficit fraud. Mitt Romney, deficit fraud! he says the two-year extension of all the Bush tax cuts is too short, while a one-year extension of unemployment benefits is too expensive.
What do you know?
Yeah.
He said in many cases, lowering taxes can actually increase government revenue. Of course, when it came to the Bush tax cuts, revenue surely did not increase. Mm-hmm. Romney simply twisting himself in circles to justify his opposition to the tax deal on fiscal responsibility grounds while simultaneously advocating for a full extension of the Bush tax cuts, no matter what the effect is, on the deficit.
Because they've cooked the Tea Party into only being opposed to it, and so if he's going to run in 2012, he can't not have their support. So he has to come out against it, even though the old guard Republican...
You said he should have gotten the memo that the Tea Party are largely evangelical Christians.
Right, who aren't going to vote for you because you're a Mormon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nice try.
They'll let you get close, though, because they think it's funny.
Extending the tax cuts.
It's Punk the Mormon.
Yeah, right.
We'll let the dogs out.
Right.
And now, another episode of Punk the Mormon.
You know, this is giving you a quick peek into how they're going to govern all these people y'all have elected.
Yeah.
Tea Party Governor-elect Walker, even before they're taking office, as we know, Kasich, who we've mentioned in Ohio, Scott Walker in Wisconsin. This is a shame. Rebuking a total of $1.2 billion in stimulus for high-speed rail projects in their states, shunning the $800 million for the long-planned Wisconsin rail project, Walker promised to kill the Milwaukee-Madison link if President Obama tried to force this down the throats of taxpayers. So Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood pulled the funding from Ohio and Wisconsin, offering it instead to states that would like to have some economic development of some kind.
P.S. Thanks a lot, idiot running Wisconsin, because it all came to California. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
California getting $50 billion
by the way,
loan guarantees.
So in addition, the Spanish train manufacturing company Talgo, which moved into Wisconsin for this project, closing its Milwaukee plant and taking the much-needed jobs with it. A spokesman for the company said the state's decision to back away from high-speed rail projects sends a terrible message to businesses considering locating in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Republicans.
What a moron.
Good job. Anybody listening in Wisconsin need a job this morning?
Because these idiots labor under the illusion that fuel prices are never going to go up and that transportation via truck is the best way to do it. And in 5 years, they will basically price themselves out of the market.
Yeah.
Well done.
By the way, so the White House insisted the implementation of President Obama's health care law will not be affected by the single negative court ruling. There's no practical impact at all on states moving forward in implementing the law that Congress passed and the president signed. Obviously, two other district court judges have both ruled the law constitutional.
P.S., by the way, this is my case about don't ask, don't tell, and why it has to be passed. The law actually has to go through Congress, because if they just let the people who want to declare it unconstitutional as a law go through that way, they have to fight it all the way to the Supreme Court. for the exact same reason this law came.
Here's my point that's troubling about the Supreme Court, was where this will likely end up. Have you heard about that crazy Michelle Bachmann having her little constitution classes?
Oh, yeah. Scalia's going to teach one.
Seems like you
one.
Might want to have checked into that before you ran for Congress. But anyway, yes, Scalia is going to teach the first class. Because she said we're going to do what the NFL does, and we're going to practice every week, if you will, our craft, which is studying the Constitution, blah, blah, blah.
God.
Someone writing, am I the only one who senses a possible problem with having a sitting Supreme Court justice essentially coaching members of Congress on how to vote in accordance with the Constitution?
Well, no problem selecting the president in 2000. Mm.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. HowSparks.com. All things HowSparksian. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Or I mean, what? Tomorrow.
Yeah.